90 amateur wins. He has a ton of titles. Well, I don't want to say titles, but he won a ton of accolades before he turned pro. He recently turned pro this past March, if I'm not mistaken. We got him on the program today. We want to bring him in a little bit. Right now I'm going to bring in my co-host, JT ATM Money. What's going on, JT?
You got it. I'm ATM Money. Hello today. How are you?
I'm good. And don't even start with me. We'll wait till our guest is off the air to go get into that, you little...
I'm not a problem.
All right. Anyway, let me finish this great intro for our guest so everybody has an idea of who I'm talking about. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this guy. Again, his name is Mike Reed, a.k.a. Yes Indeed. Mike Reed. He decided to turn professional in 2013 rather than target the 2016 Olympics because, by the way, he just fell short, just a little short, of the 2012 Olympics in London. He competed in the competition to get there. But Reed's father had concerns regarding changes in amateur boxing rules, so his dad said his game was more suitable to go pro. So on March 2nd, 2013, Mr. Reed made his pro debut at Rose Park Raceway at Fort Washington, Maryland. By the way, October 18th, that's where he's going to be again. He defeated Kareem McFarlane by TKO in the first round. Okay? In the first round. A little of his accolades. As an amateur boxer, he won the 2005 National Silver Gloves Championship, 2005 National Ringside World Championship, 2007 National Ringside World Championships, and 2009 Junior Olympic Nationals Championship, okay? He was a 2010 U.S. Championship National Silver Medalist, 2010 pound Bronze Medalist, 2011 National Golden Gloves Champion, and he was the 2011 U.S. Championships Bronze Medalist, all this as an amateur. As I said at the top of the show, he had 90 wins and 13 losses. But we're not going to talk about those losses. We might get into it. We might. I don't know. But let me bring on our guest right now. He goes with the name of Mr. Mike. Yes, indeed, Reed. What's going on, Mike?
What's going on? How you feeling?
I'm living good. I'm going to tell you out front. I'm the MMA guy. Jerry is the boxing guy. So I love, and I'm going to try to convince you to love MMA, too, if you already don't.
All right. So
Mike, I told the listeners about all that stuff, all that great information. What I want you to do is tell the folks what I didn't tell them, something we don't know about you, something that describes who you are and why you're in the fight game.
I'm a competitor. That's one of the main reasons I got into boxing. I like to compete, and, you know, I don't really think there's nothing, no sport more competitive than boxing. You know, we lacing up a pair of gloves, going toe-to-toe in the ring. You can say MMA as well. But like I said, lacing up a pair of gloves, going toe-to-toe in the ring. I don't think it gets more competitive than that.
Okay. Okay. So I also read in your bio that your dad was a boxer. He was fighting in the streets, and somebody caught notice of him and put him in the boxing ring, squared circle. He's also your manager. So would you attribute a lot of your talent and skill as something in your genes, or something that a work ethic that your father put in you that made you better?
It definitely was in our genes. Like you said, my dad used to box. I had uncles that boxed, and I hear stories about my grandfather that he used to do his thing in the ring as well. My mother, she's also real athletic, so it's in my genes, you know, to be athletic, but definitely the work ethic thing is something serious too. Like, we know talent only gets you but so far. You have to have a good work ethic, and that's what we have as well.
Okay. I mean, it's really important to have all that stuff. So you've had a total of 103 amateur fights, and you've had, if I'm not mistaken, you're 4-0 in the pro ranks.
5-0.
I'm sorry. No,
knock
me out.
Nah, no problem.
Okay, all right. I put a chokehold on you. Don't choke. Anyway. okay. So the question becomes, tell the listeners, for you, what was the difference in amateur boxing versus pros? We all know that the talent level is different. But for you, what was the biggest difference between amateurs and the pros?
The biggest difference is training. You know, preparing for the amateurs and preparing for the pros is two totally different things. Because in the amateurs, you take one loss, you know, on a national level, it's like, well, okay, I have multiple tournaments to get back at it and win multiple tournaments. But taking a loss this early in my pro career is something that can really hurt me. So when we're preparing, we're going harder. Like, we're going 10 times as harder as we was versus the amateur. So the training thing is real big.
Okay. Dedication, hard work and dedication and honing your craft. That's very important to the young fighters and young athletes, not just boxers, but young athletes out there, the training aspect. I'm not going to hold up all the questions because I know my co-host has a couple since he's a boxing fan from like 1912.
Stop.
But I'm going to let him get in here a little bit, and then I'm going to take it back from him once he gets out of control trying to compare boxing to MMA.
No way. You know, I understand that he's undefeated. Okay. He gets in the ring. From what I understand, he's got 3 KOs. Maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe he has 4 KOs since he's 5-0. Since you seem like you have some power to spare, are you a southpaw? Let me put it this way. What is your strongest attribute and your strongest punch when you get into the ring?
I am a natural southpaw, natural lefty. Do everything with my left hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I said I am a southpaw. As far as my best punch in the ring, I'm not sure I have a really go-to punch. I like throwing my hook a lot, but I don't know if I would say that's my go-to punch, because from being in the pros, a lot of people say I have a lot of power in my left hand, which is natural because I'm left-handed.
Mm-hmm.
But my biggest attribute in the ring is definitely my speed. Like, anybody that sees me fight, you know, they'll say I got real good hand speed. So that's one of the things that's my biggest attribute in the ring. And, you know, a lot of times they say speed equals power, so that's what generates all the power is my speed.
All right. Quite naturally, you've been boxing for quite a while. You got a substantial amateur record, and you're just getting into the pros. Is there anybody that you pattern your style after? Anybody that you, I wouldn't say look up to, but you like a lot and like to catch any kind of fights that they are in?
Well, my favorite fighter used to be Andre Berto, because I used to watch him on offense. Like, his offense was just so explosive and so, like, he was so strong, so fast. So that's somebody I really, you know, emulated as far as on the offensive side. But his defense is suspect, so I can't really emulate his whole game plan. You know, of course, Floyd defense is hard to touch Floyd. And, you know, a lot of people say the modern-day Floyd, or I guess the next generation of Floyd, will be Adrian Broner. And, man, Adrian, we have a personal relationship. We're good friends. So every time I see Adrian Broner fight, I kind of take this or take that from his fight.
Now, hold on.
Okay.
I got to stop. I'm sorry, Jerry. You just said something. You know it's going to raise my blood pressure. Or raise my blood pressure. Now, I understand that's your boy, man. I understand Mr. Brown is your boy, right? Why is he flushing money down the toilet? I get it. He's flashy. He got the grill. He's from the Nat. I got it. I got an issue with that. I mean, I love to ask him myself. He might want to punch me or whatever, but it's all good. But, I mean,
Mike, before you answer that, Mike, he's not a fan of a boxers that are flashy, like Floyd Mayweather and
Andre
Brown.
No. Let me clarify.
Okay.
If you're gonna have flash, have it with class.
You gotta flash with class.
Flash with class. That's my only thing. You know, Floyd has matured a lot. He has matured a lot. I think Adrian needs to get there. And if he's someone you emulate in the ring, that's outstanding. Because the boy's bad. But it's the outside the ring stuff that gets to me. And like you said, Mike, you know, that training aspect is what makes you better as a boxer. Well, what are you getting outside of that training aspect to make you a better person and boxer and a role model so somebody one day can say, you know, I want to be like, yes, indeed. You know,
exactly.
I can.
I mean, I definitely understand where you coming from. You know, the type of money that Adrian is making, you gotta he's still a kid. You know, Adrian's what, I think he's 23 years old. So if you can look back on the things that you were doing when you were 22, 23 years old, you can only imagine with that type of money. I mean, I wouldn't do it per se. But, you know, to each his own. You know, I wouldn't be flushing no money down the toilet. But like I said, I can't tell you why he's doing that. But one of the things that I'm doing myself, you know, to be a positive role model instead of a negative role model. You know, I'm going to school. I'm showing the kids that even if you have it, it's always good to have more than one option. You know. If you're a student athlete, make sure you practice on both crafts. You know, whatever sport that you're playing, play that sport to your full potential, and get your academics to the full potential as well.
That's excellent. I'm sorry, Jerry. I told you I was going to jump in. You said something. Made my pressure jump. I'm gonna give it back to you after this one thing. I want to promote the fight. It's coming up October 18th because you got a couple weeks, and I know you're in training camp and stuff. So tell us about this Fuentes guy that you're about to fight, and tell us how you plan, unless it's a secret, how you plan to defeat this guy.
Well, I know that he's naturally bigger than me. He fights 147 pounds naturally, and I fight 140. So we're going to try to get him down in the weight. They said it wouldn't be a problem, so that's really not an issue. I just know he's naturally bigger than I am. But we're the same height, so the height thing isn't a problem. I guess his build is just more stocky than mine. I saw him fight. He doesn't have the best hand speed, so we're looking to exploit that with my hand speed. Then you know, me being considered fast and him, you know, not so fast, we're looking to definitely exploit the hand speed difference. And that's about it, you know. I just want to go in there, fight my style of fight, you know, counter punch, implement my hand speed, and go from there.
Okay. Rose Crawford Raceway, where you made your pro debut, is where this fight's going to take place. Am I correct in that?
Yes, sir.
All right, all right. Jerry, I'm going to let you handle it, and then I'm going to jump back in once you're done, because we got a great guest, and I don't want to take all this time because we just got out the gym. But go ahead, JT.
Okay. You, your style of fighting is, do you stick and move a lot? Do you like to mix it up? Do you like to stand in front of somebody? What do you like to do when you get in a ring with somebody?
Well, I can do it all. Like, I can do it all. But, you know, with me being a shorter guy, naturally, is I have to get on the inside. I have to get on the inside and work a lot. But with that being said, my strengths in the ring, I can stand on the outside because I have real good defense, real good hand speed, and I can stand on the outside and counterpunch you. And if you let me do it, that's what I want to do. You know, I want to be a counterpuncher first. But I like to describe my style as an aggressive counterpuncher. And it's kind of like, you know, you don't hear that too often. You're saying, well, if you're a counterpuncher, then you're countering. You're waiting for the guy to take the lead, and you're just countering off that. You're being more defensive. But with me being so short, you know, I've learned to take the more aggressive approach, but I still learned how to counter off of that. So that's something. That's how I would describe my style as an aggressive counterpuncher.
All right. All right, this guy that you're getting in now. I don't know. You guys are the same size. He's probably got more. He's bulkier, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
In the ring. Does he have more of a reach, or do you, for the most part, have a longer reach on your opponents, and that's you gain an advantage when you do that?
Well, I'm not sure about this opponent, but for the most part, you know, like I said, I'm shorter, and my arms aren't that long, so I'm at a disadvantage when it comes to the reach. But like I keep saying, my speed and my smartness kind of makes up for that. I still can get any shot that I want to. My speed makes up for it.
All right, Vic.
Okay. Well, Mike, I want you to promo how people can get to you as far as reach on Twitter, Facebook. I want you to pump this fight. And why should somebody pay their money to come see you fight?
Well, I'll answer the second question first. Why should somebody come see me fight? Well, one, I always fight tough opponents, so it's not like you're going to come out, see me throw two punches, and the guy's going to just fall down. Two, like I describe myself, I'm an aggressive counterpuncher, so with that word aggressive being in there, it'll definitely be a good fight. You'll definitely leave out of there saying, next time he fight, I want to come see him fight again. And that's kind of like how I want my whole pro career to go. You know, I want to build most of my fans by my performance inside the ring, and then, you know, continue to build fans outside of the ring by the way that I act. So that's why you should come out and support me. This next fight coming up, the guy's undefeated. He's 4-0-1. I'm undefeated. I'm 5-0 with 4 knockouts. So somebody else has to go, and it's October the 18th, Rose Crawford Raceway, Temple Hills, Maryland. I believe I'm the main event, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you are on the card.
Yeah, so it's definitely going to be a good show. I always have a lot of fans that come out and support, so I just want to keep having that same number of fans, if not more, come out and show support.
Okay, well, we have two questions on the line for you. I'm going to take the first one. I believe it's Theo. I believe it's Theo from D.C. Hey, Theo, I know you've been waiting for a minute, so What did you have to say to Mike? I guess this isn't P.O. Call from 202-758.
As long as I've been a co-host on this show, you don't know my number,
my bad,
Zlat.
My bad.
What's going on here, man?
My bad, Zlat.
Hey, Mike, what's good, man?
Hey,
hold on.
This is what happens when you don't come to work every Saturday. I forget your number.
You know I'm out in the field, man. I'm out in the field doing what I got to do, man.
All right.
I hear you.
Well,
I hear you.
Y'all treat my boy Mike Reed with respect, man. He's gonna find this dude October 18th, man.
Hey, look, I've been talking to this gentleman very nicely. I kind of threatened Adrian Bond, so if Adrian Bond comes on the show, he might want to punch me. It's okay. It's all good. I'm in the Army. I can handle myself. But Mike has been cool. And before you start talking to him, Black, we actually had a actual caller that had a question for him. I believe it's Theo, so I'm going to bring him on right now. Theo, is that you?
Yeah, this is Theo.
All right, Theo. Go ahead and ask your question of Mike. Yes, indeed, Reed.
Hey, Mike, I was wondering, man, what made you jump right into the pros and not chase the Olympic dream like, you know, people used to do? I was wondering if it had something to do with the Olympic team falling off or, you know, or what was it?
Well, I actually did chase my Olympic dream. I competed in 2011 Olympic trials. It was the top eight guys in the nation, and at the end of the tournament, I was ranked number four. So I did chase that dream. I lost to the Olympian by 1 point, and it was a heartbreaking loss. So even though I'm young, I'm 20 years old, I was like, I didn't want to, you know, attempt to feel that feeling once again, wait for another 4 years for my dreams to be snatched away from me again. So that's why I didn't want to wait another 4 years till the 2016 team came back around.
All right, that was a great question, Theo. Yeah, one more question before I let you go, because I got to get to I got to let Mike go, and I know my other co-host has a question for him too. You got another question?
Oh no, that was pretty much it. I ain't gonna hog up the time. I was just curious about that.
All right, well, we appreciate your call. Stick around. You can either keep listening because we're gonna get into football in a minute, or you can just hang out in the chat room, and we'll get to you then. But I want to thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Keep listening to the show.
Oh yeah, definitely appreciate that.
All right. Hey, Black, what you got to say to your main man, Mike? Yes, indeed, Reed.
I just got to show him love, man. Every time I'm out and I get to talk to him for a while, he always shows love. So I want to make sure we can get as many fans as possible to come out October 18th for the Rosecroft Wasteway to check this young man out. DMV is definitely on the come up. Pat Coy, Mike Reed, man, Dusty Hernandez, Harrison, Jerry Odom. It's a long list of names coming out the area, man. My outstanding fighters coming up. Outstanding fighters from the area.
That's something I want to ask.
Well, there's something else I wanted to ask real quick. The Rosecroft, I see this October 18th is a Friday night. Do they have, like, is it Friday night at the fights? Is that what this thing is?
I guess so. It usually is on Saturday nights, but I believe they switched to the Friday nights because it's live race season, horse racing season on Saturday. So
okay,
we got to get in where we fit in, and that's Fridays
okay.
Now.
No problem. Go ahead, Vic. I'm sorry.
That works. Now, I'm going to let you go after this, Mike, because I know you want to rest and all that. Eat your little omelet, since I know that's your favorite food.
Oh, no, I'm good.
But the question I have for you is, Black, we're up a good point. There are a lot of young boxers coming out of the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. Is there a resurgence in it, in boxing in the area, or is it just that the talent level just hasn't been exposed as much as it's being exposed now? What is your thoughts on the DMV's boxing scene?
I would go towards the resurgence. You know, in 2004, you had Lamar Peterson, Anthony Peterson. You know, they were kind of like the two main guys trying to make the Olympic team. They fell a little short. In 2008, we had Gary Russell Jr., to actually make the Olympic team. and he was the only one. This time around 2012, it was 10 weight classes, and we had seven guys. I believe it was 7 or 8 guys. We had 7 or 8 guys that participated in Olympic trials. So our team was deep. Like, our team was real deep, and we still have another line of amateurs coming behind the guys that came up in the pros. So, you know, like I said, I turned pro myself, but we have the stable just running deep, and I don't know what made it happen or how did it happen like that, but it seems like the DMV definitely coming back. You know, I hear stories of how the DMV used to be when you had Chop Chop in his prime, you had Doug Coley in his prime, and you had a lot of DMV fighters that actually was in their prime putting on for the DMV, and I think in the next 2 to 3 years it'll be the same way.
Okay. I mean, I can see that and understand that. And this is my last question for you. I don't know, because your father's your manager. And Rock Newman has been a big promoter in the DMV over the years with Riddick Bowe and all the others. Let's say a big promotion comes to you, Golden Boy, Rock, Don King, you know. What is your stance on joining one of these big promotions and becoming part of their machine as opposed to the independent boxer that you already are?
Well, I know to get to where I want to go, which is, you know, one of the major belts, I'm going to have to partner up with one of those big promotional companies eventually. But right now, I don't want to rush into nothing like that. Like, because once you sign your name on that dotted line, you know, you're stuck for at least 3 years, you're stuck. So if you're unhappy with it, you're stuck in an unhappy relationship, and that's not what I want to do. I want to, you know, remain patient and sign what's right for me. Like, we've had promotional companies come give us a call. We've had managers come give us a call. But like I said, we just want to remain patient. We don't want to rush anything because, you know, things come to those that wait. So we just not trying to rush nothing.
Okay. That's respectable. Now, what's the one thing you want to leave out there to everybody that's listening right now as your last statement? Whether it be stay in school, up with hope, down with dope, whatever. What's the one thing you want to tell the listeners out there?
Well, first I want to say, everybody, thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. Also, want to say, if you can, come out October 18th. Now, I'll be the main event, Rose Croft Raceway, Temple Hills, Maryland. It'll be a show. And every time I fight, I'm trying to outdo my last performance. And if you heard anything about my last performance, I got a 6-round beautiful knockout. It was a good tough fight. So if I can top that, you know, they should put it on TV. So if you got a chance to come out, if you got a chance
to
come out.
You're trying to get an ESPN moment.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I believe my performances are ESPN worthy. I've seen, you know, ESPN fighters. I'm like, oh, this is what y'all putting out? No offense to the fighters. But I feel as though my performances, you know, not with me, you know, it takes two to tango. So I need a willing opponent, you know, to push me so I can push myself to that extra level, and I believe that's what we have, and so everybody should definitely try to come out.
Man, that's definitely going to happen for you, man. You look at Dusty now. Dusty was just on Comcast. November 2nd, he'll be on HBO, man. So that's definitely going to happen for you too, man.
Hell yeah, most definitely. Very soon.
Now, I did lie, Mike. I did lie. Last question for real, though. I got to ask.
Oh, no, I'm good. I'm good. You can keep going. I'm all right.
Nah, because we got to get to football, and I don't know which your time's like for football. But, and if you're a Cowboy fan, I'm definitely not keeping you on the line, because I already got
one
line. Can't deal with you.
Nation's capital all the way, D.C.
Okay, all right. You good, then. All right. So, I mean,
yeah, y'all football segment will be real short.
Whatever. Shut up, Black. So, here's the question, and I'm not trying to lump you in or work my way to get Adrian on the show, but you said your real personal friends with him. Have you sparred with him to improve yourself? Or who have you sparred with that professionally that has improved you or helped you understand the boxing game better?
I actually had sparred with Adrian. It was a learning lesson. You know, you see him on TV, and you're like, okay, I see him doing this, or I see him doing that. But when you're in the ring with him, it's something totally different. Like, I believe I'm sharp. You know, I believe, you know, I'm decent as far as a boxer. I believe I'm decent. But with Adrian, you know, it's a different level. And, you know, he didn't just dog me, but you can tell it was a different level. I learned a lot. And that sparring session, we sparred back-to-back days. I learned a lot. So the Adrian taught me a lot. You had, of course, you have Lamont Peterson. Lamont, he's a teacher in the ring. Like, he's a teacher by nature. It comes fluent with him. I sparred with Anthony Peterson. They both teach me. They both teach me a whole lot.
Okay. Well, that's the most important thing, because as you said earlier, training is the biggest part of the jump from amateurs to pros, and who you train with also decides how much of a pro you can be. Excuse me, because if you're sparring with Joe Blow, who isn't as good as you or better, you're not really improving yourself. You're just reaffirming the fact that you're okay or you're good. And I think that's a really important lesson that anybody in sports or any type of competition needs to understand that, yeah, you might be good, but if you never take on a tougher opponent or somebody that's at your level or a little better than you, you're not going to get better. So I think that's a good thing that you were talking about earlier, and I appreciate that, and I think the listeners do as well. So
exactly.
With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, October 18th, Rosecroft Raceway, come see this young man, get in the ring. We're talking about Mike, yes indeed, Reed, take on a Mr. Fuentes. Is it 10 rounds, or how many rounds is it, Mike?
We ain't there yet. It's 6 rounds.
Okay, 6 rounds. You're going to get there, bro. You're going to get there. 6 rounds of action. 6 rounds of action. Now I'm just laying on you to be a Vladimir or Vitali Klitschko. It's going to be a good fight. So check it out. If you're in the local area, tickets aren't that expensive. Come on and support this young man and see what the future of boxing is. So we appreciate you coming on the show, Mike.
All right, no problem. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you, fine.
Good luck.
All right, thanks.
All right, go get some of that good old almond. I need one of my dag on stuff.
All right.
All right, take care, Mike. Bye-bye.
All right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mike, yes indeed, Reed on the line. Pro boxer, great amateur record, 90-13. Has a pro record of 5-0, last win by knockout, as you heard him say. Check him
four,
out.
Four knockouts.
Four knockouts. His 5 wins are by knockout. So check him out, and we'll see what happens there. Appreciate our call, Theo, and I see he's still on the line. As we get ready to get into football. So I want to let you guys know, if you want to get in and call in and jump in on the conversation, you can always dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. Or you can go on our chat room, which is located at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Once you go on there, click on the live show. The live show is this one, of course. And jump on the chat room and we can talk and go back and forth as we get ready to get into this NFL Week 4. But before I get into that, where is it at? Oh, here it is. This is how we get ready to play some football, guys.
Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor. not nastiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stack defenses in the pros. They must meld the buck of a billy goat with the sudden surge of a sprinter. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get ready for the football.
Why is this happening?
Why? What happened? What's going on, Black?
Excuse me, fellas. I'm just got a message. It's official, Mayacom versus Floyd Mayweather, May 3rd, 2014. I do not want to see that fight.
What is it again?
Amercom versus Money Mayweather, May 3rd, 2014.
Really?
I don't think Khan's ready to fight Floyd.
You said what?
I don't even like Floyd that much. Amir Khan? Okay, real quick, before we get off, break that matchup down. Break it down real quick in 5 minutes or less.
Amir Khan versus Mayweather? Khan has no chance. There's nothing to break down. He has no chance. I don't even see how he was able to get this fight. I rather would have seen Bradley or Marquez try to step up after their fight coming up and try to make a move with Floyd. But Amir Khan, I mean, I guess he'll bring the England fan base, which is real big, like Canelo brought the Mexican fan base. But I don't like this fight one bit. But I don't know. What's your guys' opinion, man?
Well, I totally agree with you. I don't even know how he got that fight. Wow, I'm shocked.
Well, I think he got it because he was Floyd needs to fulfill his contract, and there's really nobody other than Bradley that he would fight other than the guy we were just talking about, the protege, Adrian Broner. But that fight's not going to happen, at least not anytime soon. I don't think. It might not ever happen.
Is CL still on the line?
No. He's gone. I let him go. But we got Theo. And I think Theo just popped back up for a question, so I'm going to see if he has something to say. Hey, Theo.
Yeah, man. I can imagine how that fight got put together, man. That was one of the things with Amir Khan and Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
What's going on here, man?
That's one of the things, man. They've been trying to do that for years now, but Amir Khan would always come up short in the fight before the mega fight. So that's what that is, man. I don't think he's worthy of it because he hasn't been winning the other fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't see why they made it. I don't even see why they made the match.
I guess they figured, man, they couldn't get Manny, so they got to get the next, you know what I'm saying? They got to get the next thing, man.
Well, again, he has about, what, 3 fights left on that contract, in which case he might retire afterwards. And the only viable contenders, honestly, in my opinion, because Canelo really disappointed me, but would be Adrian Broner or Manny Pacquiao, because everybody wants to see Pacquiao and Mayweather. But Bradley and Marquez said they didn't even want to fight Pac anymore. They wanted to fight each other. So I could actually see the winner of that eventually getting a shot at Floyd. And, you know, I'm a believer. I've been turned into a believer of Floyd. I still don't like him, but I've been turned into a believer. But, again, I think it's a contract deal. He has to fulfill it. He has to fight somebody. And nobody really wants to pay to see him fight a nobody. Amir Khan isn't nobody.
I'm getting another text from one of my boxing insiders that said this is all in condition of Amir beating Devon Alexander in December. And it's not official
for
the Mayweather camp yet.
Yeah, Theo just said it. He said he always comes up short in the fight just before he's supposed to take on Floyd. So hopefully this will take place. If not, then we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Maybe Oscar dust off his bustier and come out and get back
to
the ring.
I don't want to see that either. No, no,
well,
no.
I'm just saying, I don't know. But we got to get the football, guys. Theo, did you want to chime in on this football? You just want to stay on the line, right? All right, I'm going to let B.O. stay on the line. I just muted him, so if he needs to jump back in, he can hit two, then one again, and I'll see what he has to say. But we're going to get into this real quick. Of course, we saw San Francisco get back to their roots, which was run the ball versus St. Louis, and they came up with a win. And for some strange reason, Jeff Fisher decided to bench Isaiah Pede and activate Zach Stacy. It didn't do him any good as San Fran went on and beat St. Louis. In the first game of the weekend, Baltimore heads to Buffalo. Now, Buffalo is coming off of that embarrassing loss to the Jets. The reason why I say it was embarrassing is because they let San Antonio Holmes and Stephen Hill just go crazy on them. They picked on that one quarterback. That one cornerback got exposed, and they still didn't give him help during that game. So it's going to be tough if they don't give that kid any help going against Baltimore, Torrey Smith, or that new kid, Mr. Brown, that Jerry has been touting and playing with his dreadlocks. Now, in this game, you have Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce going against the league's worst rush defense. League's worst. C.J. Spiller, who's kind of gimpy, but by all intents and purposes has been outplayed by Fred Jackson. Both teams look to be able to run the ball and take advantage. But I still believe in Buffalo. I honestly believe in Buffalo. I think they get off the schneid this week and they beat Baltimore. Only because it's in Buffalo. If it were in Maryland, we're in Baltimore, I would flip the switch and say, no, it's going to be there. McKenzie couldn't protect Jacoby Jones from a stripper, so I know he can't protect Joe Flacco from Mario Williams. So that's what I got to say on that. I want black than Jerry.
I don't care for either one of these teams. This is one of these adopted teams that the Samantha has picked up. So if I'm going with that team, I'll go with Baltimore.
JG.
Okay. This is a B against B. Bad against batter, I guess. If we don't put it any way than that. Yeah. Anyway, Buffalo's going to have a hard time running the ball. Baltimore, if nothing else, they've been pretty good run defense. So I'm looking for E.J. Manuel to put the ball up a little bit more than normal. But Buffalo's standard is they want to run the football before they throw. But I think Buffalo's going to have a hard time running the ball. Baltimore, they're like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, especially on the road, and Joe Flacco playing on the road. With a heavy pass rush from Buffalo, Buffalo's definitely improved their defense. Their offense just hasn't caught up. They do have a good, decent pass rush, and that's one thing that is Achilles heel for Joe Flacco. He doesn't like to deal with a bad pass rush. It leads to a lot of bad games. But I think the skill level in Baltimore is better than Buffalo. I know it's playing in Buffalo. I know they play better in Buffalo, but I have to go with Baltimore.
Not a problem. Before I go to the next game, I just wanted to mention, for those of you in my fantasy football leagues, are one of them, Wolverine in the house, I posted a nice video of this wonderful trophy that I had made in 2008 where I can inscribe your name, your team name, the year you won. Rookie had it. He got it back from the league winner that year, and I wasn't able to inscribe the names. But I plan to put my name on here this year, and I want you to take that video, especially you, JT. Just slap in the face. But
all good. Sometimes all good plans go awry, and I think this one will too.
We shall see. We shall see. Hey, well, and since I'm on that topic, and I'm gonna just do this quickly. I want to apologize to all my fans in the Parlay Palace. I am the champion, which is me, has been.
You have fans at the Parlay Palace?
Be quiet. So I have disappointed you. I've come on the short end of some victories. Like 1 week, I just lost. 2 weeks, I just barely lost.
Hey, a loss is a loss. It doesn't make a difference whether it's 1 point, half a point, point two. It's a loss.
I'm talking to my fans. I'm talking to my fans. Thank you.
This week, you have no fans.
This week, this week, I get off the schneid. I get my first W in the battle to regain the supremacy and the title that I held last year.
Okay.
Black says there are no repeat champions in the Parley Palace. I'm here to prove him wrong.
They are.
It's only been around for 2 years, dog. 2 years.
There are no repeat champions.
There's no repeat champions. And Victor, you've done it in Yahoo. You're doing it in ESPN. Do not pay attention to the projections that ESPN give you. Do not pay attention to those. Please.
Silence. It's okay. It's all right. We'll see.
I'm gonna nickname you Beatdown. So that's what I did to you last week.
Oh, for real? For real? Oh, talk your talk, old dude. It wasn't a beat down. You won. You won, but you didn't beat me down, but you won. But let's move
what?
On.
Oh, boy.
Let's move on.
Oh, boy.
Silence.
Oh,
boy. Silence.
Oh, boy.
Let's talk about a game that has a lot of fantasy implications. Now, on one team, the entire linebacking corps, except for one person, it has decimated. It just decimated. The other team, they had so little faith in their quarterback, they took his captain away from him, and now they benched him for a rookie who has a big arm, who has a tendency to get antsy in the pocket. So about Arizona going to Tampa Bay. Now, in one of my leagues, or in several of my leagues, I talked about how I think Tampa Bay actually might try to tank the rest of the season in order to get Greg Schiano fired.
No way.
And I just think they don't like Schiano, period, and they're not performing well. And with this current move, yes, I think Tampa will win the game, but I don't think they're going to dominate the game. I think Arizona, because even though their linebacking corps is decimated except for Carlos Dansby, they get Washington, I believe his name is Washington, back next week. But their secondary is still good. Arizona can't stop the run, so Doug Martin should have a field day alleviating the pressure off of Mike Glennon. But it's going to force Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, and the rest of those guys to defeat him. Like, I was surprised. I was extremely surprised that Hopkins did what he did on Revis Island last year.
I'm not.
That's great. It's not your turn.
I'm sorry. I'm waiting because I got a lot to say. I'm waiting.
Okay. All right. So with that being said, again, I'm going to pick Tampa to win, but I see this as a pretty good shootout. Pretty good shootout in Tampa Bay. Go ahead, Black. We're going to go Black and Jerry for the rest of the show.
Nah, let Jerry hop on since he's waiting. I will oblige the old man. Go ahead.
All right. First of all, I touted this guy DeAndre Hopkins for quite a while. I told you that they consider him, and I do my same because I've seen him play. The next Roddy White. It's obvious when he had the key role in helping the Texans beat the San Diego Chargers that this is a man child, and he's a rookie, and this is his third game. So it's not surprising that he does what he does because the fact is he's got the physical skills and the intelligence to do what he's doing, and he's only hit the tip of the iceberg. Second of all, I said last week, and I'll say it again, the coach did it for a reason when he moved Josh Freeman away from the starting position and put Mike Glennon in there. And I'll say it like I said it in the Cleveland game of last week. Mike Glennon, and I got a funny feeling, and I said it last week, and I'll say it again. I got a gut feeling. that Mike Glennon, when he gets in here, and he has Mike Williams and Vincent Jackson, are going to put on a show. That's all I got to say, and I like Tampa big time in this game.
Well, wait a minute. So who do you think will have a better game, EJ or Glennon?
Glennon.
EJ's going against Buffalo, and Glennon's going against Arizona. So you're saying Glennon's going to have a better game?
Yes.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
Why? Why?
Why?
Yeah.
I think it's just a gut feeling. I just have a feeling that he's going to have a better day. You know why? And this is self-explanatory. Who's got a better running game? Who's got the better running back? So he's going to have a clean. He should have a cleaner.
Buffalo
got Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller, and against Baltimore, they're going to have more likely problems running the ball. So I know EJ is going to be throwing the ball more, but that can be detrimental to your health with a pass rush that Baltimore can generate. I understand that Arizona could generate a pass rush, but if you have to defend against Doug Martin running the ball, then you got to pick your poison. Mike Glennon has a big arm, and he got two good receivers on both sides of the field that he can get the ball to. One of the Achilles heels of Tampa Bay was having Josh Freeman inaccuracy kill him. This guy, I'm not saying he's a Joe Montana or extremely accurate, but he can get the ball down the field and get it where it needs to go. And he played in a pro set when he was in college. So this is not like it's geometry to him. Like he doesn't understand what's going on. I like Mike Glennon. I don't think he's going to be an all-pro, but he should be a serviceable quarterback, and he should be able to grow. Just like you see some of these rookie quarterbacks that play in their first two or three games, they each one of these quarterbacks that are rookies have been growing from game from one game to the next and getting better. And you can see the progression and how better these guys are getting more comfortable in the pocket or being able to run the offense. Mike Glennon's been running a pro offense since he's been in college. So it's just a matter of getting used to the speed of the game and getting the ball to where it needs to go. And with a strong running back, I really like Mike Glennon in this game. And it just, I could be wrong, but it's just a gut feeling.
Okay. Go ahead, Black.
Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize for the past 7 minutes of radio. If you really wanted to pick this game, just flip a coin. Arizona one side, Tampa the other side. I just flipped mine. I'll just pick Tampa, but this is a terrible game.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow. And I'll tell you why, and I prove to you why I was right when we get to the team I'm talking about. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, since we're talking about a terrible game, I hate to have this game going on in London, but it just got better. It just got better as Mr. Castle is going to start for Minnesota versus Ben and the Steelers. Now, the reason why I call it a terrible game is because AP is going to run all over that defense, and you will see a Greg Jennings sighting because Castle can at least push the ball down the field a little bit. So him, you might even see a Cordero Patterson signing in this game. Now, with that being said, on the other side, Le'Veon Bell makes his pro debut for Pittsburgh. Unfortunately, it's behind the third-string offensive line that can't seem to help but let Ben Roethlisberger get killed. Jonathan Dwyer made some big strides for that running game this past week when they played, but they used him in a platoon system. So he didn't stay on the field all the time like I thought he should have. They're going to try to stop the run with Le'Veon Bell, but plantar fasciitis is one of those injuries. It takes a little longer than 4 or 6 weeks to get rid of. Ask Antonio Gates. He's just now having a healthy foot after like 3 or 4 years of it. And the Pittsburgh defense has just been on the field way too long already this season. I just don't think that Pittsburgh can pull it out, unfortunately, for the Steeler Nation and coach. I think Pittsburgh, for the first time in its history, goes 0-4. and Minnesota gets its first win, and they become 1-3. I don't think it's going to be a very neat game, but you're going to see a lot of AP, and then you're going to see Castle go deep in the second half. But that's my pick, Black Jerry. Let's go.
Another stinking game. I'm glad the NFL moved it overseas. I have no dog in this race. If you got Heath Miller in fantasy, go ahead and lock him up in there. He should have a big day.
Okay. Well, earlier I talked about a beatdown, okay? And my esteemed host said it wasn't a beatdown. Black.
Oh, dude, what are you going to that
black,
for?
Black.
What is that 453
against 344. That was the final score. If that's not a beatdown, I don't know what is it.
You know why? Because your defense scored like 200 points.
It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a
difference.
Well, you know what? It's my turn to talk, right? Okay? It's my turn to talk. So I'm trying to transition into what I was going to talk about, but you interrupted me. So what I'm saying is that was a beatdown I put on Victor. And this is the same thing that – wait a minute. Just listen to me, please. This is the same beatdown that Minnesota is going to get from Pittsburgh. Wait a minute. Just listen to me. Pittsburgh is – and I'm not a big Pittsburgh fan. I've been all over Pittsburgh because they're long in the tooth. And they've had some substantial injuries. But – going against Minnesota, I understand they got Matt Castle, who's supposedly a more accurate quarterback. Well, he captained a 2-14 team last year. He's over here in Minnesota. Minnesota, in the beginning, before the season started, was pumped up quite a bit by so-called experts as being a team to contend with. They're 0-3. He's going and picking up the pieces of Christian Ponder, who you know, guys, I don't like at all. Matt Castle is not the savior of this team. I understand he's an uptick from Christian Ponder, but he's not the savior of this team. He's going to have issues dealing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And there's always one time in a game when – I wouldn't say one time in a game – when there's always a player, different parts of the season, that when they enter the game, regardless of what time part of they enter the game, it seems like they inject some inspiration to the team, and the team performs better. Now, I'm not saying this rookie is that player, but the confidence level, because everybody seen what this guy, kid can do in a preseason. And unfortunately, he got hurt before he could play in the first game. The confidence level of the offense and the defense of this guy that they're finally getting into the starting lineup is, I wouldn't say at an all-time high, but is very optimistic at this time, including the coaching staff, because they see this guy every day in practice. I'm looking for this kid to run pretty well. And even if they have issues on the offensive line, I think this kid, because of his ability, not to say he's going to be the Adrian Peterson or Arian Foster, but because of his ability to run the football and see holes that most regular backs don't see, it's going to have a good game. I understand Adrian Peterson is going to run, but this kid, first game, I think he's going to do well. I like Pittsburgh in this game. With a beatdown in Minnesota, for the simple fact that I don't think Minnesota is going to do that well in this game. I think Pittsburgh, the tradition of Pittsburgh, they always rise up. And this team, this defense in Minnesota is not that good. Their secondary stinks. Absolutely. They're going to get torched by the wide receivers with all that speed and open up big holes for Le'Veon Bell to run through. I like Pittsburgh big time in this game.
Okay, I think you're wrong, but okay, not a problem. Let's move to a game that I think is going to be a stinker of a game, mainly because one team is way better than the other. And the one reason why, one team has a running game, the other team doesn't. I'm talking about the Giants versus Kansas City, and they're going to Kansas City. Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem. If you're going to try to get David Wilson started, you know, by showing him confidence and letting him run the ball, you don't do it against Carolina, who is notorious for having a good defense, just poor offense. And you, then you don't have to travel to Kansas City and play that Kansas City defense, which actually got better this year. So, Brandon Jacobs won't be anything. Darrell Scott won't do anything. Hakeem Nicks will be targeted a lot because he was not targeted but one time last week. One time. So, Hakeem Nicks will be a good play to have here. Unfortunately, you got Brandon Carr following him around the field. And behind him, you got Eric Berry. And a surprise IDP is Mr. Houston. That guy's an animal. On the other side of Tamba Ali and then Derek Johnson, this game is full of defensive richness and devoid of offensive goodness. The only offensive goodness in this game is going to be Jamaal Charles. The reason why I say that is because if you look at how Smith has handled the ball, he's gone underneath, and it's like a slant or a dig route, and the receivers are running after the catch. They're getting a lot of yak. He's not pushing it downfield. So New York can play a cover two or a cover three and just control everything because Smith isn't going to go deep. He won't. He just doesn't have the arm to do it. But that defense of New York has been on the field as much as the Redskins' defense, which is a long time. I don't see much of anything happening here. New York goes to 0-4. Kansas City goes to 4-0 and is picking up steam. They're picking up steam as they head into week five, and they take on, in week five, Kansas City takes on the Tennessee Titans, which should be a good game next week. But I think this is just a speed bump as Kansas City rolls on. And by the way, this is the end of the bye week, week four, so Carolina and Green Bay are not playing this week. So, that being said, Black, it's on you.
Yes, sir. This is all Jamaal Charles. I'm upset that Andy Reid is his coach now. But, you know, I can't stand the Giants. So I roll with Kansas City as well. And I think our caller wants to chime in on this game as well.
Say again?
Our caller would like to chime in on this game as well.
Okay. Well, let me bring him in before I bring you in, Jerry.
Sure, no problem.
Hey, Theo, did you have something you want to say about this game?
Oh, yeah, man. I think this game is I'm picking Kansas City to win. You know, they got a nice little streak going against the NFC East. And I think this is just going to further the illusion that the Chiefs are a better team than they really are. You know what I mean? I don't think the Giants are good in the beginning of the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season ever. You know what I mean? And I think Dunbar could probably beat them in the first, 6 weeks. So Kansas City, you know, they're going to win this game, but I think they're going to taper off on the second half of the season, and neither one of these teams are really going to, you know, impress. This is going to be one of these games where Kansas City's going to win, but it's not really going to prove anything.
You know what? I know who this is now. I know who this is. I was thinking Theo Huxtable. This Theo the trash talking. It's not a Cowboys fan. It's another daggone count. Now, Theo, you know you're going to get silence now, especially when I come up to that Cowboy game.
Oh, no, I'm not a Cowboy fan.
Yeah, you're wrong. This isn't the deal you're thinking about, man.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Come on, Vic.
I apologize.
Come on, Vic. Come on, Vic.
I apologize. I said I apologize.
Oh, boy.
I'm still going to mute you.
Cowboys fans without even thinking about you right now, man.
Whatever, shut up. All right, go ahead, Jerry, hurry up.
I got a couple things to say here in this game. Kansas City's going to win, and the other thing is PayPal.
You know what, Jerry?
Uh-oh.
Pay these out.
Uh-oh.
Got that?
Are we getting very close to that win threshold?
No, this is something separate. And watch, they're not going to win any more games. But they might win maybe one or two games, but they're not winning much more. But anyway, that's a totally different story. Jerry, you're not supposed to be interjecting these negativities into the show right now. We're trying to keep it positive.
There's so, positive. I just see, no one knows what I'm talking about, but you and I. So
exactly.
You view it as a negative. I don't. I'm just saying, PayPal.
Indianapolis goes to Jacksonville.
For all your money transfer needs, PayPal.
Whatever. Shut it up. Anyway, Indianapolis goes to Jacksonville, and unfortunately for the Jacksonville Jaguars, they put Blaine Gabbert back on the set. This is a very stupid move, in my opinion.
Stupid, dumb.
I know Penny hasn't been great, but he's been better. He's played well versus the talent that Jacksonville has faced in the first 3 weeks. Now you're at home facing Indianapolis, who has Andrew Luck, and Trent Richardson is going to start, and he's going to get most of the snaps now that Ahmad Bradshaw is sidelined for the week. You're going to see a little Donald Brown, but don't expect him to do what Bradshaw did last week, two different runners. This is just, I don't know. MJD might be able to run, but if they play, I'm talking about the Colts defense, if the Colts defense plays like it played last week versus the 49ers, MJD might not even get 1 yard. That was a swarming defense against the run, and definitely they were better against the pass. This is a very interesting game in the fact that Indianapolis can start to build a lot of momentum and a lot of steam going into a Week 5 matchup. If you think about it, Seattle goes to Indianapolis next week, and Trent Richardson is no slouch. If he's getting this warm-up game, so to speak, versus Jacksonville, he might be able to cause a little trouble for Seattle in Week 5. But this is a no-brainer to me. Indianapolis in a blowout, and I know it's a conference game, and I know it's at home at Jacksonville, and I know they normally show up, but Blaine Gabbert is the one thing that keeps me from picking them ever. Go ahead, Black.
Well, I would never pick them if they had John Elway at quarterback.
Matter of fact, I'm sorry. I would love to see Josh Freeman go there.
If you let me finish my rant.
Thank you, Black.
Whatever.
You let me finish my rant, sir, Jacksonville. I don't know why your fans are not in the uproar. Tim Tebow's always looking for work. Jason Campbell's always looking for work. Brett Favre apparently is in shape and looking for work. There's not any number of guys that you can just call up on the phone, man, and get them down there in Jacksonville to suit up. But I'm looking at Indianapolis and the laugh in this one.
Well, from week to week, it's hard for teams to get up for especially against a big win like they had against San Francisco. If you look into that game, Vic, you mentioned that Indianapolis had a swarming defense. Well, their swarming defense was only, I wouldn't say only, it was against the wide receivers and keyed in on Colin Kaepernick and eliminating his options. They gave the ball to Frank Gore 11 times, and he was running the ball effectively. Okay? Indianapolis can get run on, meaning MJD should have a big day. But Blaine Gabbert, Jacksonville plays better at home than they do on the road, and this is a division matchup. But there's too many weapons on Indianapolis' side versus what they offer it from Jacksonville. That Indianapolis, I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout, but I think Indianapolis is going to win this thing comfortably.
Okay. I mean, I agree with you. So let's go to the next game, which is a very, very, very big game. And I think it's going to be a very low-scoring game. Seattle goes to Houston. Seattle is a team looking like they're really going to run the table in the NFC. I would love to see them go up against New Orleans and see how that works out. But right now, they're the cream of the crop in the NFC. Now they head on to Houston, where Houston, I believe, they got shellacked versus Baltimore last week, 30-9. Didn't quite understand what happened. I know Andre Johnson, he left early because he had some shin issues. And DeAndre Hopkins.
Bag of bricks.
Huh?
The bag of bricks himself.
Bag of bricks. Well, DeAndre Hopkins didn't show up in that game after having that marvelous game versus Tennessee. And neither did Arian Foster or Ben Tate. Now they're going to face arguably the best team in the NFC, Seattle. I know it's at home. But Andre might not even play. They're saying he might not play. I think he's going to play. But honestly, this is a toss-up because I like both teams. I really do. I just think if Aries back there and able to ball hawk a little bit, maybe. But Seattle doesn't throw the ball a lot. That's the problem. And when they throw, it's because it's off of play action. So I need J.J. Watt or somebody to step up and make me a believer. But for all of his purposes, I got to pick Seattle. Not because I want to, but because I have to. Houston just isn't. I don't think they're ready for Seattle. Go ahead, Watt.
Well, I don't have any dilemmas in picking Seattle. Houston has been a hype job since they entered the league. They're not for real. They won't be contenders. You want to take Seattle in this matchup. Houston, the bag of bricks, the cotton Schwab, those guys are fraud job, man. Don't buy Houston. Don't buy with this job.
This is, in my opinion, going to be a slobber knocker. Both these teams' defenses are pretty hard-hitting. And for your information, DeAndre Hopkins had 7 targets. He had the second most behind Owen Daniels in that game. Six catches. Wait a minute. 6 catches for 60 yards. So he was active in that, and he only can do what this quarterback. He can't throw it to himself. How's that? You've heard that line before. I can't throw it to myself. Okay. I like Houston. Wait a minute. I would definitely say if I don't, but I'm gonna give you a reason why. Last week before the game was about to be played, and I told my wife. Thanks for that, but that's okay. I had told my wife, I'm talking about the Houston.
I didn't do anything.
Well, somebody said Homer, but that's okay. I had told my wife before Houston and Baltimore game was about to get kicked off. I said, this game scares me because I've seen this team play the other way and play a real bad game. And I had a funny feeling. And I told this before the game started. I had a funny feeling that they weren't going to play well, and they didn't. It's just one of those things about this team. For some reason, at times when you think they're going to play the same level they normally play at, they throw in a clunker and they act like they're the Jacksonville Jaguars. But this is a staple game. This is a game that can make a statement that. That we're one of the better teams, especially when all the hype is with Seattle, and it's at home. I really, really like Houston, and it's not because it's because it's my team. I really like them because all the hype is with Seattle. All those guys are feeling pretty good about themselves, and they should, without a doubt. And everybody's discounting Houston as not that team. Houston's going to rise up at home and beat Seattle and give them a loss, not a big loss, but it's going to be a loss that supposedly the so-called experts are going to be stunned by.
Okay. Well, whatever. Cincinnati at Cleveland. Bobby Hoyer gets his second chance to lead the Cleveland Browns down the field against Cincinnati, who is moving more toward Giovanni Bernard than our Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. It's a gradual shift, and it'll be complete by the end of, I say, week 7. In this game, you got Cameron Jordan, who is a beast. You've got Josh Gordon, who is also a beast. You've got a wonderful defensive team in Cleveland. Willis McGay, he gets an opportunity to get a little bit more time to practice and play against the team and know the offensive line, which isn't a bad offensive line in Cleveland. And Joe Hayden is going to be hooking up with Jeremiah Green a little bit. So that means Mohamed Sanu, Tyler Eifert, somebody needs to get open for Andy Dalton in this game. I understand Hoyer is going to probably throw the ball a lot, and they're going to sparingly give the ball to Willis, and that scares me. But I like Cincinnati's defense. I like their secondary. So I'm going to pick Cincinnati in this game. But I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Nothing like it was with Cleveland and Minnesota. Nothing at all. So with that, let's go to Black and Jerry.
You know, I always ride with the red-headed assassin. I always mess with Andy Dalton out of college. So I gotta stay with him in the pros. I'm gonna roll with Cincinnati, especially in this matchup against the Cleveland Browns.
Okay. Okay. I got the floor here. I said it. Go back to the tape last week, Saturday and Sunday. Go back to the tape and tell me I did not tell you guys so. I told you Bobby Hoyer with Josh Gordon think they're going to do something here, and what happened? 19 targets to Josh Gordon. Huge game. First game back. I told you guys last week Josh Gordon was going to have a big game. I had a funny feeling, Bobby. I said I had a gut feeling. Just like I told you earlier in the other games with Tampa Bay, I had a gut feeling that this quarterback was going to do something, and he did. Now, dumb me, instead of me picking Cleveland last week, I picked Minnesota to win the game. But I said that Josh Gordon and Bobby Hoyer were going to have a big game along with Jordan Cameron, and they did. I'm thinking the same thing in this game. Simple reason, Cincinnati's secondary is beat up. They're not completely healthy. They're playing at home. It's a division rival. They're riding on a high. I like Cleveland in this game.
You guys telling us so? I appreciate that. Let's move on.
I told you so. Tell me I didn't tell you so. Tell me, I told you last week, and you guys thought I was crazy when I said it. When I said
no,
Bobby Hoyer.
No.
You could pick a Janitor going up against Christian Ponder. That wasn't really a super, super call. You could pick the Kool-Aid, man.
No.
That's nothing.
Bobby Hoyer doesn't go against Christian Ponder. He goes against the Minnesota defense. And I told you, we were talking a game, and we were also talking when I was on Sunday, talking fantasy. And I said that these guys were going to have a big game. And they did. Listen to the math. I know what I'm talking about.
Okay, old guy. Calm down. I have an aneurysm. All right. Let's move on to a game that's going to make me some money in the long run. Chicago goes to Detroit. Now, Reggie Bush and his pompous. You know what? I'm about the same height as Reggie Bush. I saw that close up last Sunday.
Okay.
But I say pompous Reggie Bush because he went out and said Detroit felt like they didn't need him to beat us being the Redskins. And they beat us, first time in 20 years, but they did it based upon the sloppiness of the Redskins. And I saw this firsthand. It was rather sloppy. We didn't tackle. We turned the ball over. We did a lot of things. We shot ourselves in the foot. That's what I'm saying. Chicago's not going to do that.
That's what happens to teams that stink.
Whatever. But the bottom line is Chicago.
Black, you notice he didn't deny it.
I didn't. How can I? We're 0-3. I can't deny it. But I will say this. Chicago, I can see it. I really wish they would have brought Trestman in to be the offensive coordinator and kept Lovie Smith. And then Lovie can still, you know, do his thing. But that offense of Trestman has extremely helped out Jay Cutler and that team. They're working on all cylinders. You haven't seen much of Michael Bush because they're not in that, well, let's just get a couple yards in a cloud of dust and play defense mode. You've seen a lot of Matt Forte being versatile, Brandon Marshall, Martellus Bennett, and Jay Cutler getting rid of the ball. That rookie interior offensive line is phenomenal. They're going to get tested this week versus Adonikin Sue and Nick Fairley. Nick Fairley's a big, fat blob. I'm sorry. He just is. And Adonikin Sue, I was like, that dude is like, nice. That dude is he would be my prototypical defensive tackle because he's not fat, and he was flying all over the field. That's where I have a problem. Because they're going to be coming so hard, I see a lot of screens. I see a lot of play action to stop them and slow them down that Chicago wins this game. There were some plays left out on the field at FedEx last week that I think Chicago is not going to let happen. So with that being said, even with Reggie Bush coming back, I see the Bears winning this game and going to
4-0. Black. Dominican Sue amazed you, huh?
His stature.
That's what happens when you go against bums. You look amazing when you go against bums. but getting to this game, this game really comes down to who do you really trust? Do you trust Jay Cutler in the fourth quarter, or do you trust Matthew Stafford in the fourth quarter? Me as a betting man, I don't trust either man, so I'm going to go with the overall team. So I take Chicago getting this over Detroit.
Oh, you guys. I said this earlier before the season started. This is one of my surprise teams. There's always some teams that people don't think are going to be that good. They're playing at home. It's a division game. And Jay Cutler is Mr. Schizophrenic. And he's going to be schizophrenic in the Pontiac Dome. He's going to be Mr. Schizophrenic. When the pressure's on, one of the things that happens with Jay Cutler is he folds up like a cheap suit. And if it's close
Whoa.
Wait a minute, it's my turn. If the thing is close in the fourth quarter, in Detroit. It's all going to be Detroit. Now you can look at the skill level of both teams and say maybe the Chicago Bears have a advantage in the defense, but on the offense, who has the advantage? And in my opinion, it's clearly Detroit, and they're playing on their turf. Not grass. So
yeah. So Matt Forte is going to be different.
Wait a minute. This is my time, right? I didn't interrupt you.
Yes, you
I
did.
Told
right.
you about. Uh-huh. I told you. Joyke Bell last week. I'm telling you, Joyke Bell and Reggie Bush are going to run wild against Chicago on that turf for another, along with Calvin Johnson, and there's one other guy that I'm not going to mention. Today, I'll wait for it tomorrow. That's going to be
Brandon Broyles.
That's going to be a surprise to a lot of so-called experts that they're going to get him in that passing game because Chicago.
Brandon Broyles.
Tillman is nicked up. He's hurt. So even if he tries to handle Calvin Johnson, when no one can, he's going to have an issue. So They're going to be slinging the ball all over the field, open up lanes for Reggie Bush and Joyke Bell to run through, too, besides catching the ball. Chicago's not going to win this game. It's just one step closer to payday again, and Detroit gets their win, number three.
Whatever. Not going to happen.
Detroit always has a lot of talent, but just like the city went bankrupt, the Lions will go bankrupt as well.
No,
thank you very much for supporting me, Black.
This is a different
team. We got five minutes left alive air.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to do real quick, because we're going to do the 4 p.m. games in overtime.
Okay.
That was all of the 1 p.m. games, the early games. So
mm-hmm.
with 5 minutes left in the show, I want to say, I want to thank everybody for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics here on Blog Talk Radio. Also, we're here Monday through Saturday with a different program. Tomorrow, Sunday, as Jerry alluded to, is called The Master Plan. It's Jerry, and sometimes he has co-hosts of myself, maybe Black, maybe Rick, maybe my cousin. But it's always
I might pop in tomorrow. There's a fight, Chavez Jr. fight tonight, so I'll pop in tomorrow with some analysis on that.
Okay, no problem. Okay.
All right. So with that, JT's going to have Black there give me some analysis on the Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fight, which got bumped up in weight as a catchweight because Chavez could not make weight. So he's also going to lose some of his purse. So the catchweight is now 173 or something like that. I don't know the exact weight, but it got bumped up. And JT, I'm going to give him a real quick brief synopsis of what it is you're going to talk about tomorrow.
Fantasy football. We're going to go to each game. I'm going to give you my analysis on who's going to be fantasy gold or fantasy brass in each game. And I'm going to give you some surprise guys like I did last week. If you listened to me last week, you got paid if you had a couple of these guys on your roster.
All right. Then on Monday, for all of you Army Wives fans, the TV show and the book Undaunted, we have the creator and producer of Army Wives' show, Tanya Bionic. I can't get her name correct. I'm sorry, Tanya. She's going to be on the show Monday with Sylvia. And we're going to have a good time talking to her. And we've already posted out to a lot of the Army folks. Hopefully they'll pick it up and get on it. But Sylvia has a hot October lined up for all of her listeners, starting with Tanya coming on the show, ending the month of September. Ending the month of October.
Wow.
So, enjoy that, everybody. And then on Thursday, Black, Jeff, and Jerry back with you, back at you with Fantasy Sports and Politics. Well, let me go back. I apologize. Time Out with Sylvia Crawley airs at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live with Sylvia Crawley Milbury, the former WNBA star, former Boston College female basketball coach, current ESPN and Fox females college basketball analyst, and host of one of our shows, Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. Then on Thursday, you got JTATM Money as well as Jeff and Black coming on talking about whatever it is they're going to talk about before the game, the Thursday night football game, and during the Thursday night football game. It's always something interesting, political. Will the government shut down? Will it be shut down by the time they have their show? Maybe that'll be a part of it and how it might affect everybody else in the sports world and the average person buying a ticket. Just my thought. Then on Friday, you got Mac. He's back with JTATM Money at 7 p.m. doing No Chaser, doing their thing. I'm not sure who's coming on this Friday, but we'll see what happens. And then you got me and JT back at you on Saturday. We're doing what we do because we do it for you, and we love what we do. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to overtime and talk about the 4 p.m. games and the Monday night game. So I want to thank you for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics. Come back next week, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for a great show. We appreciate you being here. Have a great day. All right,
hey,
guys.
Pal.
Whatever. You better remember that at the end. So, you're such a jerk. I hate you right now.
Before we go any further, because I don't want to forget this. Before we go any further, October 18th, are you still going to be on the East Coast, or are you going to be West Coast?
West Coast.
Oh, okay. All right.
Good point. I forgot to thank our guest. Stupid me. I forgot to thank our guest, Mike. Yes, indeed, Reed. Coming on the show. Good luck to him. October 18th, Rosecrawl Raceway in Temple Hills, Maryland. 6 rounds, main eventing that wonderful car. So hopefully he comes out 6-0 and then comes back to the show and brings Adrian Bonner with him so I can tell him he's stupid for flushing money down the toilet. But we'll
see.
You never know. But,
well, he's here a lot, so you're still on the East Coast. I advise you to get to one of these gyms in the area. He's here a lot. Broner?
Yeah.
Broner tight with Peterson, so he's here a lot.
That's fine.
I'm here, too. What you gonna do? Nothing.
I am going to forward your address to Mr. Broner. That's what I will do.
No. You can't go on base. Let's go to the Jets. The J-E-T-S, Jets, that's who's going to get slaughtered, in my opinion, by the Tennessee Titans. That aberration of what they did to Buffalo, Geno Smith looked great. He just outplayed. I think he was motivated to outplay E.J. Manuel because he felt he should have been the first player taken, first quarterback taken in the draft. And that gave him motivation to go out there and perform the way he did. He ran all the right plays and stuff like that, and he did well. But he comes back to earth as he takes on Tennessee. Even though the Jets defense has been playing extremely well this year, I think Tennessee at home puts it on. And you have several more turnovers by Geno. And he just comes back to earth. So I'm picking Tennessee to win this game. Go ahead, Black.
This is another game that I don't like, but because one of our hosts jumped ship and moved to another team, I'm going to roll with the New York Jets.
You know, and I have a funny feeling, I know why, Black, because you want to see this team do well. See if I'm going to jump back on the ship. I'm not jumping back on the ship for one. And like I said earlier, I think these rookie quarterbacks, and it happened last year, and it's happening this year, are progressively getting better in each and every game. E.J. Manuel, Geno Smith, and now Mike Glennon is going to be in there. I'm trying to think if I'm forgetting any other rookie quarterback that's playing right now. I think Geno Smith. Excuse me.
Mike Glennon.
Yeah.
All these rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah, Mike Glennon is a rookie quarterback.
Yeah,
and I think he's gonna play well. I understand that the Jets and the Titans. It's in Tennessee. Tennessee's got a pretty good defense. This is one of these quarterbacks I don't like is Jake Locker, even though he pulled out a game with the Titans last game, throwing to a rookie wide receiver with his first catch, which was a touchdown catch and a game winner. And this is a little tidbit that you guys, I don't think you knew about, Kenny Britt. Jake Locker specifically asked for Justin Hunter to be in there versus Kenny Britt. And that's why Kenny Britt was not in there in the game, and he was sitting on the sidelines, and that's why Justin Hunter caught that pass. So that's just a little tidbit of how they're feeling about Kenny Britt and how Jake Locker feels about Kenny Britt, because he's been pretty lackadaisical on the field. And this is a contract year for Kenny Britt. So if he's doing that in the contract year, God bless him. Anyway, I'm picking Tennessee in this game.
All right, let's move on. A game that I desperately need, as well as Washington Redskins. They're headed out to Oakland, where the word is required might try to play. They say he may have passed all of his concussion tests, but the concern is that he might get another concussion. If London Fletcher or Rackford or somebody hits him. Now I'm going to say something that's really going to upset a lot of my Redskins fans.
Neither one of those guys is going to touch prior. They're too slow.
Whatever. But I saw this firsthand. And I understand the athletes are strong and big and stuff like that, but some are a little bit more dominant than others. Ryan Rackford disappointed me majorly last Sunday. I saw him almost get a couple sacks, almost get a couple tackles, only to have the players slip out of his hands. And he made one spectacular play behind the line of scrimmage, but after that, he was a disappointment. I know he's fallen off a little bit, whereas he's not getting the pressure that he once did, but it kind of worried me. Now, he's going against an offensive line that's not that good. Matt Flynn should be the quarterback, and if he is, he'll be a sitting target. London Fletcher, Perry Riley, Kerrigan, all those guys, Daryl Tapp, all those cats have an opportunity to get a couple sacks and get a couple turnovers. The problem I see is I saw a single deep safety a lot, especially against Detroit, which I didn't understand. The reason why I guess they did is because the normal free safety was injured, and they put Chris Wilson at free safety. He played down in the box a lot. They played a lot of man coverage. Against Detroit, I didn't think that was a good idea. Against Oakland, still not a good idea because Oakland has faster receivers, and they'll get beat. Streeter and Moore might not be the most polished receivers, but they can run right by you. And hopefully, Makari Rambo or whoever else is going to play safety is able to help Brandon Merriweather, who is not a good free safety. He's a strong safety for a reason. But other than that, I think RG3 protects the ball better this week. And they get Alfred Morris going a little bit, even though Oakland has a great defense. They have more sacks in the NFL than anybody, but they look bad versus Peyton Manning in that offensive line.
Anybody would.
So, yeah, I got it. But when you have a new guy coming in, never played with him before, had like 3 days of practice, playing left tackle, and Manning doesn't get touched, that says something. Either Winston is that good, or they didn't get enough pressure. So here's RG3's opportunity before the bye week to pull out a win, because when they come back, they got the Bears, they got the Cowboys, they got Denver, and I forget the other team they play. But it's not looking good for my Skins when they come back after this bye week. It doesn't look good at all. But I'm picking them to win this game because by week nine, they're going to need some help.
Homer.
They are going to need some help. Week nine, when they play San Diego, and San Diego's not a pushover anymore.
Homer.
But that's what I got. Keep going. Go, Jerry.
Are you with me or Black first?
Black. My bad. Black.
No, I just want you to repeat everything you said. It sounded so wonderful. It was like a symphony orchestra going off in my ears when you were just speaking about those feather skins.
Whatever.
Can you repeat all your statements? Especially words like, we are in trouble, season is over, and things like that?
I didn't say that part.
I didn't say that part. All right, so we know you're not. This is a garbage game, people.
It might be some fantasy goodness here. I thought RG3 in one of my leagues, of which I'm 3-0. I appreciate his 300-yard efforts and come from behind losses. So I look for that to continue here if he can give me another 300-yard game. But I'll take the Raiders in the black hole. And on Thursday's show, we could be talking about is Shanahan on his way out.
That could be a topic of discussion there, Black.
It sure could.
You finished, Black?
This is ultimately going back to the trade where the Redskins gave up first, second. Just to move up to grab RG. They left themselves with no depth for their defense, and this is all showing right now.
Well, the view in the mirror is may be closer than it appears. Meaning, the skill level of the Washington Redskins may be worse than you first thought it was. And it's obvious. They're absolutely horrible. They're going to the black hole. They're in trouble. I see an offer in double digits. I see an offer in double digits. 0-10, 0-11. You just talked about after they come off from Oakland, the teams they play. Good luck. You're trying to get a win from any of those teams. I like Oakland in this game.
Of course.
No, I call it like I see it, and I see Washington traveling east. Washington, no, now see, you're wrong about that because I'm not a Washington hater, and I like RG3, but I'm realistic. And you got to be realistic of what you see. And you saw it firsthand when you were sitting in that stadium last week. So, but you're still looking out of rose-colored glasses, and you're not, you didn't clean glasses good enough,
burgundy,
or well enough,
burgundy,
I should say, to see what you actually know you see. That your team, and it's that dreaded five-letter word, sucks. That's plain and simple. That your team sucks. They're in disarray. They have a problem. They can't stop anybody. They won't stop anybody in this game. I pick Oakland. And I don't think it's going to be – I think Oakland's going to win by at least a touchdown.
You want to put something on that?
No.
That's
your only recourse to try to do something. But no. No. No.
We'll go half of what I owe.
No. This game does not interest me that much.
Well, then you guys are
definitely in trouble, man. That trade has screwed you for some years to come.
Yep.
I hope not.
And Amazon is a bust.
So
Rambo
wrong.
Is a bust. It's not looking good, my friend. And I saw.
We need to get some safety help.
There was an article in Business Journal. I saw the picks that you guys could have had you stayed pat and just rolled the Cousins. I think it was Michael Brockers. I think it was Janoris Jenkins. Man, it's whew. All those guys could have started on your defense this year.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
All right.
8.
Well, let's
8.
Move on to a very explosive game. Very explosive game. Philly goes to Denver, and I think it's going to be an exciting game here, mainly because you got the up-tempo case of Kelly versus Peyton Manning and his patience. Peyton Manning and his patience ultimately will win out. Shady, he might have not so much room like he did in the past couple weeks, and his body probably won't be able to stay up for keep this pace up for 16 games. And I know Bryce Brown hasn't touched the field much, touched the ball that often, but I'm thinking they might need him in this game. Because
in order to keep Peyton Manning on the sideline, Philly's going to have to run the ball. And it can't be a read option because you can't keep exposing Michael Vick. He's already limping. He's already hurt. It's only week four. But you're going to have to keep Peyton Manning off the field. Otherwise, they're going to throw up 21 points before Philly gets an opportunity to get on the field and actually move the ball. Chip Kelly's going to have to slow it down. He's just going to have to slow it down. And I wanted to talk about welcoming Chip Kelly to the NFL, but we had a special guest today, so I think I'll wait till next week to welcome Chip Kelly to the NFL next week when they go 1-4 or 1-3. So we'll discuss that next week. But I'm picking Denver by double digits, black.
You know, I've always called the evil empire the New England Patriots. They have officially lost that title and it now moves on to the Denver Broncos. Too many weapons on that offensive side. There's no way that Philly keeps up. I think Broncos stack the box against McCoy and make Vic try to beat him. I don't see Vic doing that. Broncos big, man. Broncos big.
Two words, Denver Broncos. No need to go any further.
All right. An interesting game where Dallas goes out west and plays San Diego. The sad thing in this game is that Ryan Matthews has lost a lot of confidence, or the coaching staff has lost a lot of confidence in Ryan Matthews. They only put him in the game to run the ball. When they're in a passing situation, he's on the bench. I think they're going to be in a passing situation a lot this game. Dallas is a lot better than people give them credit for, as a matter of fact.
Thank you. Thank you. I said that before. Thank you.
Can you be quiet? Thank you. So I also, on the airwaves, stated that when Dallas plays at home versus Denver, Dallas is going to win that game. I know Miles Austin is hurt and he's out, but that just means that whoever's in San Diego, they're going to have to cover Dez Bryant. They're just going to have to do it. And Jason Witten. So I look for Jason Witten and Dez Bryant to have a huge game here. I don't think DeMarco Murray is going to repeat the same type of game he had last week. But Phillip Rivers, Antonio Gates, and you might even see a little bit of my guy, short guy, number 11, played with Denver, can't remember his name, Eddie Royal. Because that little guy in the slot, in a cover two, can kill that defense. He can kill that defense if they're playing a cover two. So we'll see what happens. And with Spencer gone for the season, we'll see who will step in and pick up the pace and pick up the mantle. But I'm still going to pick Dallas in this game. And as a matter of fact, and I hate to say this, but I got to switch it. If the Redskins don't win the East somehow, some way, Dallas will win the East this year.
Wait a minute. Say that again. Say that because this is something. This is something I said before the season. Say that again. Say that again, Victor.
I need to move on because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Go
okay.
Ahead, Black. Whoa. I'm very confused right now, and everything I'm hearing from both of the co-hosts. I'm stunned and confused and amazed all at the same time. I don't know what's going on here, but there seems to be love for Dallas.
Well, see, Black, you're wrong, because I picked Dallas to win the division. You go back to the tape when we had the NFC East. I picked Dallas to win the division. And I've been saying that Dallas is better than a lot of people give them credit for. And I thought Washington was not that good. But was good, but not up to Dallas, because I think Dallas has got an attitude, a way about themselves this year versus the past years. But go ahead, Black. I'm taking your time.
Well, I'm amazed. First off, I tempered my expectations coming into the season. When I heard that Romo was taking the Peyton Manning-like stance and all of a sudden watching videotapes, and it seems to have helped. I mean, he's at 72% completion percentage for the year, 6 touchdowns. I believe even no pick or one pick, could be wrong, but they continue to play like this. I'm liking my team. But with that being said, I'll take Dallas in the matchup as well.
It's a this is an interesting matchup with Dallas playing San Diego. But I think the ultimate talent will win out, and I do like Dallas in this game. So.
Okay, that was quick. Now to another game that's booked this week. Very interesting, because we had a couple of interesting games this week. New England goes to Atlanta. Both Danny Amendola and Gronkowski have not been ruled out, but it's leaning like they're not going to play this game. That's going to hurt New England, in my opinion, even though Atlanta secondary is still suspect. Atlanta hasn't found a way to get back on track. They just got to. They improved by bringing in Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson is an improvement, but he stays hurt. At least my guy, geez, I can't remember his name right now. Michael Turner stayed healthy enough and could play in the games. So Jacquez Rogers and Jason Snelling should be running the ball pretty good against this defense. Secondary-wise, Julio Jones and Jerry said this week one, typically when one of the receivers is hurt, the other one normally steps up and takes all the credit, which I think will happen in this case as well. Julio will be a decoy most of the time. I mean, not Julio. Roddy White will be a decoy most of the time as Matty Ice throws the ball to Tony Gonzalez and Julio Jones a lot in this game. I just think they have the better matchup. They're in Atlanta, and New England can't decide who they want to run the ball. Brandon Bolden came in, did a very good job last week catching the ball and running the ball, but they also tried to use LeGarrette Blount. Shane Vereen looks like they have no confidence. I mean, not Shane Vereen.
Stephen Ridley.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it looks like they have no confidence in Stephen Ridley at all because he has some fumble problems. I don't know if it's just the Belichick way or what, but it just doesn't seem like it was anything there. With that being said, I also picked New England to be one of the worst teams in the AFC East. Atlanta gets the win Sunday night. Go ahead, Black.
Well, I don't like Atlanta. I've never liked Atlanta. I've never been sold on Matty Slash. Some people call him Matty Ice. I call him Matty Slash. So I think Tom Brady to gut out a victory here in Atlanta in prime time.
This is extremely tough, right? This is extremely tough because I think the offenses of both these teams are probably even, in my opinion, if you look at them, especially playing on a turf. I have to give the slight edge to the home team because they play well at home and because they're they're extremely hard to beat at home. So I have to lean toward Atlanta in this game. I just think that they're going to pull this game out because of what happened to them in Miami last week.
Okay. Let's move on to the Monday night game, which is actually a battle of undefeateds, where Miami and Jerry, I think they proved they can beat a very good team. Matter of fact, a Super Bowl contending team. I think you were talking all that trash last week. Shut your mouth. Know your role. So, with that being said, and off my chest,
somebody's O's got to go.
That's right. And unfortunately, Miami's is going to go away. I understand they got a good defense. I got it. I understand they have a decent offense. I got it. But they don't have the Tannehill. Let me put it this way. They have the talent to play in a shootout game, but I don't think Tannehill is good enough to match the prowess of New Orleans. Now, their defense played really good last week at home versus Atlanta.
At home.
But they're now, yeah, exactly, at home. But now they're going to New Orleans in the Superdome with all that noise, Jimmy Graham, Marquise Colston,
Drew Brees,
Stills. Yo, I'm getting them Stills, Drew Brees, and Darren Sproles. Now that defense isn't that bad. You say what you want about Ryan, but those boys know how to coach defense. They get it from their dad, and they know how to take a defense and turn it around. They're in a big but don't break defense, and it's been working so far. I think that Tannehill's going to see a lot of blitzes, and he's going to have to do a lot of checkdowns. Unfortunately for him, it's not going to be enough because Lamar Miller is not going to be able to run the ball. My sleeper player in this game is going to be Pierre Thomas. The reason why I say that is because Mark Ingram's nicked up. He's not playing, and he was somewhat ineffective. Pierre Thomas isn't that effective, but he's a little more effective than Ingram. You're going to see a lot of grinding the ball, but Drew's going to get that ball out of his hand when it's time to throw the ball. A lot of stuff to Darren Sproles. A lot of stuff to Jimmy Graham. Because once that safety starts to cheat up, he's not going to be able to cover Jimmy Graham. And Jimmy Graham leads all tight ends in the NFL with receptions and yards. Right behind him, just very, very close behind him, is Cameron Jordan. So I look for New Orleans to win this game at home with big numbers. I don't know how close the score is going to be, but I look for big numbers from New Orleans. Black.
Monday night in the Big Easy, I'll take Drew Brees.
See, this just goes to show me, Black, that Vic listens to my show on Sunday, because I had talked about Pierre Thomas, if not last week, 2 weeks ago. So just goes to show you how far he's behind the learning curve here. Anyway.
Loser.
Atlanta going to Miami. Miami playing Atlanta in Miami was like a perfect storm. Everybody knows that Atlanta, including Matt Ice, doesn't play well on the grass, on the road, and it proved to hold a whole truth. So now they're going home after a loss, and they're going to play another Super Bowl contender or playoff contender, whatever you want to talk about. Nobody this year, and I'll be surprised if anyone pulls it off in the Big Easy in New Orleans in the Superdome this year, beating New Orleans in New Orleans. They're playing with an attitude, a huge chip on their shoulder. I don't think anybody this year beats them in New Orleans, anybody, regardless of who plays them, and Miami won't be one of them. Somebody's O's got to go, and it's not going to be a new O. It's going to be Miami.
Okay. I mean, I agree. Now, I just want everybody to understand that I still pick Miami to win the AFC East, and I think they're going to do so. I don't think they've played – well, of course they haven't played
You know, and I should have brought this before. If you're so confident, put your PayPal where your mouth is.
Mm-mm.
Well, I would have had you put your PayPal.
No! Don't even go there. Don't even go there. Don't even go there. Don't even go there, Victor.
No!
Don't even go there, Victor.
You went there.
You've been preaching all this time since the beginning, before the season started, that Miami's going to win the AFC East. So I'm fed up. Put your money where your mouth is, brother.
I don't need to do anything. Because when I told you this, when I made this same proclamation, I offered you a wager. You said no. So therefore, I'm not going to give in to you because you want to.
But they're 3-0. They're 3-0 with a possibility of New England going 2-2, with a possibility of Miami going 4-0. You should be feeling more confident. You should be feeling more confident,
insecure. I don't need to discuss my confidence with you. You are no one at this point. You did not listen. You didn't want to take me up on what
ATM is your new name.
I know you are. No, ATM
is your new name.
No. It's yours. You won it. You earned it.
No.
Now keep it.
No.
Now keep it. So.
Okay, I'll be the ATM. Give me my money.
You know what I'm doing? You know what I'm doing, Jerry? I'm doing this. I'm loading the ATM up so I can then take it when I need it.
Okay.
Right. So.
Okay, whatever.
That concludes week four of
that's
the
it?
NFL week.
Yes, oh, I was just warming up.
Well, the bye weeks are Carolina and Green Bay. We're going to get to week number five, where coincidentally, all the 0-3 teams currently they got their bye week in week five. Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Tampa, and Washington have their bye week in week five.
But they need to go on bye and not to come back.
Here's my proclamation.
They can kiss the season bye.
My proclamation is three of those four teams will have a victory going into the bye week. Two of them are playing each other. So, you know, that's what I'm getting to.
They need to go on a bye and pull a Nate Burleson.
Oh, pick up a pizza and break a whatever. All right. So
at least they would have an excuse. At least they would have an excuse, right, Black?
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday edition with myself, FSP, and co-host JTATM Money, as well as Black the – I can't even use that term because he doesn't – I can't have him lose his credentialing. But Black, a.k.a. Mike Wright, my guy, who brought us our special guest today, Mike, yes, indeed, Reed, who will be fighting October 18th. At Rosecroft Raceway in Temple Hills, Maryland. Come out and support him and that fight card and the District of Washington, Washington, D.C., Maryland and Virginia area of boxing is heating up, and he's one of the young talents. Come out and support him. I want to thank our caller, Theo, for coming on and being a part of the show. We appreciate that. I hope he enjoyed the show and comes back and brings many, many friends. Again, next or this Sunday, the Master Plan, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with JT, ATM Money, and Black, breaking down the Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fight and Jerry giving you guys a bunch of starts and sits and sneaky picks. So that'll be a great time. Again, on Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Time Out with Sylvia Crawley welcomes the author, the producer, and the creator of Army Wives, as well as the book Undaunted, Tanya Bienick. I can't get her last name right. As she comes on the program to discuss Army Wives, her personal timeout moment that pushed her to do the things that she's doing now, and many mm-hmm. things. Then on Thursday, you got the FSP Crew Show with Jeff Black and Jerry discussing the upcoming Thursday night football game, which will be Buffalo at Cleveland that night, as well as the weekend sports and so many, many, many other things. Then Friday, I'm sorry, FSP Crew Show is at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursdays. Then Friday, No Chaser, Matt Wiz, and the ATM are there discussing hot topics. I'm quite sure if a government shutdown takes place, that'll probably be the topic du jour for Matt Williams and Jerry Taylor next week. We'll see what happens.
No doubt.
Then you come back to me. Yeah. Then you come back to me on Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, me and JT. I'm telling you, he and I, we chide each other. But we work very, very well together. The old
yeah.
guy and the young whippersnapper. So it's a friendship that was forged over Blog Talk Radio Airways. And I think it's a good one, and I appreciate it. I'm not going to let him win any more prizes because he's part of the show. He's ineligible. Along with my man, Black. I love this dude, too. Y'all just don't understand. Listeners, y'all just understand how important these guys have become to me in my life and the success of all these shows. You guys really don't understand. But you will soon enough. Spot On Radio is on its way.
And I'm going to put together a magazine with or without y'all's help. And everybody's going to profit from it. So we'll see what happens. But JT, well, let me go Black, then JT to end the show. Black, what you got?
I have nothing. I have nothing. Okay. I wanna wish my opponent good luck, Team Young. I'm coming for you. He's a good friend of mine. But I gotta get out of this hole, man. And it starts with you.
Oh boy, it's like that, huh? Huh, Black?
It definitely is. I'm 3-0 in my other money league, and I'm suffering to my own. So something has to give.
All right. JT.
All right. With that being said, tune in tomorrow. We all always have a good time on this show, and also on the Master Plan at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I don't know if you want me to close it out, but we can do what we do.
Yep.
With the thankfulness of Black, myself, and Victor, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.